It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I'm Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and this is Gervie's Law. Yes, we are back in action. Finally, we've been on hiatus for about 3 months, and it's so exciting to be back right here at KBC on the air again. It's been 9 years of interviewing some of the most well-known lawyers, politicians, newsmakers, athletes, and anyone else who had something interesting to say right here on KBC. We're going to look a little different in the next few weeks as we promo some new guests, some new co-hosts. I'm going to have some guest co-hosts coming up, but we're still going to be speaking to leading newsmakers, entertainers, lawyers, athletes, and politicians. We're here at 6 p.m. Sunday on KABC. It's a new time, and we're excited about that. Some guest co-hosts coming up. Next week, we are going to welcome Leanne Tweeden here as the guest co-host. Leanne was co-host with Dr. Drew on Midlay Live right here on KABC, so that should be fun. Our next show will feature professional poker player Andy Block, who has 2 engineering degrees from MIT and a law degree from Harvard Law School. Not too shabby. And then after that, we will have divorce attorney Marilyn Shinetz, who has represented the likes of Michael Douglas, Tom Cruise, and Wendy Williams. As well, we will welcome lawyer for the U.S. soccer team, Jeffrey Kessler, probably one of the most preeminent sports attorneys in the country. After that, we will have former talk show host and former lawyer Jerry Springer coming up. That should be a spirited show. And attorney Arthur Idala, who has represented Alan Dershowitz, who has been on this show numerous times, Rudy Giuliani, and Harvey Weinstein. So some great guests coming up in the next several weeks right here on Gervie's Law. But I must say that we have a great guest today. Someone who I know a lot of people are really excited to hear about. And by the way, you can check us out on Facebook or at gervieslaw.com if you ever want to know who the guests are. If you want to listen to podcasts, if you don't hear one of the shows, go to gervieslaw.com and hear our podcast. Or you can hear it on Apple Podcasts or any of the other podcast vehicles. But today, I want to introduce a wildly popular actress, New York Times best-selling author, a hugely successful entrepreneur, a singer, and leading health advocate and spokesperson who probably still is known best for her role of Chrissy Snow on Three's Company and, of course, Carol Foster Lambert on Step by Step. But more recently, she's been known as the health, fashion, and fitness guru. She has Suzanne's Organics. I just gave it away. I said Suzanne, so you know it wasn't Oprah Winfrey. It's Suzanne Summers. And her makeup line, her hair care products, her Thighmaster have all been incredibly best-selling products. And, of course, her books. She is very well known for self-help books. Some of them include Ageless, The Naked Truth About Bioidentical Hormones, A Knockout, Keeping Secrets, Eat Great and Lose Weight. She is a grandmother, believe it or not. I won't say how old she is, but if she wants to offer that, she looks amazing. Breast cancer survivor, and she considers good health her greatest achievement. Suzanne Summers, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm married to an Alan.
I know you are, and he's Canadian, and I'm Canadian.
Oh, you are? Interesting. I get along very well with Canadians.
I hope so. Alan Hamill, of course, was well known in Canada and, of course, here in the States. And he is one of Canada's jewels. And, of course, he is married to a jewel of America, Suzanne Summers.
You know, when I was fired from Three's Company, most people think I left the show. I never left the show. I was renegotiating my contract, which I had to. It was year 6. And right before we went in, actually Alan went in on my behalf to the meeting, Laverne and Shirley had just renegotiated, and they gave ABC a colonic. So when Alan walked in, he had gotten a phone call the night before from a guy at the CFO's office of ABC in New York. And that guy said, "You didn't hear this from me, but they're going to hang a nun in the marketplace, and it's going to be Suzanne." And so when he left the house that morning for the meeting, he uncharacteristically stopped at the door and turned back and looked at me, and he said, "You know, this could all blow out of the water." And I said, "No, it's a negotiation. We'll ask for this. They come back with that. We counter. They come back. We'll meet in the middle."
Right.
So there were no cell phones at the time, believe it or not. So I'm sitting at home at our Venice beach house. It was a multi-level beach house, and it seemed interminable. And the way the front door opens when it's good news, and there's a way it opens when
there's bad news.
And I heard the door open.
Oh, no.
Real slow and close real slow. And then I heard him padding up the stairs. So I met him at the landing. And he looked at me and he shook his head and he said, "You're out." I said, "What do you mean I'm out?" He said, "They plan to fire you today. You were fired within 5 minutes of the meeting." And my jaw dropped. I had never expected that. And he put his hand on my shoulder, hands.
Yeah.
And he said, "We're going to make this work for us." He said, "We're never going to work for anyone ever again, unless it's by choice." And that's when we began this whole new, really exciting life. I really feel, Alan, that the worst things that happened to us in life, and I have other things, but that at that time, that was a terrible thing. Imagine being on the number one show in the country when it mattered, when there are only three networks.
Right.
The highest demographics of any woman in television at the time. I had done my job perfectly. And then you get sliced off at the knees. These negatives in life can be your opportunities, like judo, you know, using forward energy to win. And the first thing that happened was I bought a pair of very expensive shoes. I know, it sounds stupid, I know. But they were Manolo Blahnik, and I happened to have nice legs. And they were nude, and they had pointy toe and toe cleavage, which is sexy, and a high arch, and 5-inch heel. And I was standing in my dressing room in my bra and underpants, and I thought, "Oh, Alan's going to think I'm so stupid for spending $575 on a pair of nondescript shoes, but they make my legs look so great." So I walked out of my dressing room in my bra and underpants, and I say to Alan, "Like my shoes?" And he said, "Great legs." And I went, "Oh, my God, that's the commercial." Because we, at that time, we had taken possession of the Thighmaster.
Right.
And if you recall that commercial, which was a bona fide hit. I mean, the more you see a commercial, as you know, during the week means the more money you're making because the more time you can afford to buy. And if you remember, the camera started on those shoes, which I now wrote off, so they're essentially free. Camera panned up my leg onto the blue leotard with Alan off camera saying, "Great legs." And it was a hit. The first hit that gave us the entrepreneurial bug. I think we stopped counting after having sold 10 million Thighmasters.
You know, Suzanne, there's so many great lessons in that story. And I'm just, as an attorney, I'm always listening to testimony. I'm jotting down a couple of those lessons from that story. And the first one I wrote down is having a great partner, in this case, Alan, who's so supportive that looks to the future and looks to taking a negative and turning into a positive. That's number one.
Totally.
Number two is investing in yourself. At that time, maybe you were just trying to make yourself feel better with the shoes, but look at that investment and look what it turned into. And there's one more point that I want to make that you didn't, but I think it's important. You made a stance for women in the entertainment industry to be paid at least close to on par, if not on par, with the stars of men at the time, like Alan Alda and Carol O'Connor. You have to feel pride in doing what you did for the women of the world, not only in entertainment, but in business, in law, and any other profession.
Well, it just, thank you for that, but it really seemed at the time, I'd like to say I was the first feminist, and it is weird that Chrissy Snow, I play the dumbest woman on television. I played her really well, but I really felt you should get paid according to the amount of tickets you sell. I was selling more tickets than anybody. We had the highest ratings. I was on all the magazine covers. I was the one in the show, and it probably annoyed everybody else, but Alan and I recognized marketing very early on. And so as the publicity came to me, I said yes to everything. And the other thing I did, which I think was kind of smart on my part, when you go out to those red carpet things, that was the style at the time to say, oh, get away, stop taking my picture, go away. No, 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 not me. I learned all their names. Hey, Fred, how are you? Hey, Joan, how are you? Hi, Ron, Galella, how are you? And what happened was I let them take my picture and take my picture, and I was filled inside those magazines that everybody was buying at that time. And very interesting, years and years later, when our house burned down in Malibu, which, right, as you know, if you live in Malibu, your house is going to burn down at some point.
I'm close enough. I'm a little inland in Calabasas.
Our offices are out there, and that fire's out. Remember last year? Fire was all over the place.
I was watching them very closely at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you can feel the heat. Anyway, Ron Galella, who was known as the pain in the ass to Jackie Kennedy, and she tried to sue him because he pursued her. I imagine the photos he has of her are great. Ron Galella took it upon himself to send me every picture he ever took of me with full allowance for usage. How about that?
Wow, that's really something.
So when you know, it's a give and take. I always saw paparazzi and what I did as a dance. I give to you, you give it back to me. I can't do it without you, you can't do it without me. And so Alan and I understood very early on the power of publicity, the power of marketing. And then when we had that giant hit with FaceMaster, I have a FaceMaster, which is another big product of ours, but ThighMaster. Now, the other thing Alan Hamill did, and you know him,
yeah,
and you know who he was in Canada.
And he was brilliant as what he did in front of the camera or behind the camera. There was brilliance there. And I attribute it to him being Canadian. But go ahead.
Well, I do, too. I, as I said, I like Canadians. But he had the late night show. Saturday night. I forget the name of it. But it was a precursor to Saturday Night Live. And he had the afternoon talk show like Murph Griffin. And he had that razzle dazzle where he'd come out and all the kids in the peanut gallery would scream, yay! And he'd go, shut up. Anyway, he at one point, I think he said he had done over 3,000 hours of television. So well known up there. When I got fired, he gave it all up. He walked away. And I said, no, 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 you have this big career up there. No, no. And he said to me, you have a real shot, but you don't know what you're doing, and you're going to give it away. And so he walked away from his whole career in Canada to manage me and to create this business and this partnership. And it's a beautiful thing. We get along so great. We've been together 54 years, and we don't fight. We did in the beginning, but everybody does in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I see it all as was meant to be.
And, you know,
yes,
it is meant to be. We have to take a break, but I have to also say that I've read that you two really still, after 54 years, are so attracted to each other. We need to talk about that after the break, but we do need to take a break.
Larry King used to say, that's a grabba.
That's a grabba. Yeah, I can't do the New York accent, but I can do the Canadian accent, which I'm sure you're very familiar about.
Okay, I'll be here.
We're going to talk more to Suzanne Summers after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Rely on Wayman to bring the music in.
Is that ZZ Top?
That is ZZ Top. Legs. We talked about legs before the break. She's got legs. Suzanne Summers has always had the legs and still does. And maybe that's why her husband, Alan Hamill, is so attracted to her and she's so attracted to him. How do you maintain that kind of sexual and personal energy in a relationship for 54 years? And by the way, I'm learning so much from you, Suzanne. You know, I've read a lot of your books, but I'm writing everything down that you say. Go ahead.
Well, it ties back to the books that I write. You know, when I now had to figure out how to make a living, we went on the road with my act, and that was a ball. I had, you know, all the dancers and the costume changes and everything. But what do you do during the day when you do nightclubs at night? I started writing books, and then I got cancer. Another bad thing that ended up being a great opportunity for me. I got a virulent kind of breast cancer, and I thought, what have I done in my life to play host to this terrible disease? And I looked over my diet and lifestyle and I realized, wow, I thought I was eating right, but I was eating crap. When you do a television series, you know, they have the craft table, which should be called the crap table. It's all this stuff that, you know, nervous food that has orange powder all over. There's no orange powder in nature except turmeric. And believe me, there was no turmeric on those pages. And I realized I didn't eat right. I didn't sleep right. I started writing my books. I'd stay up till 3 in the morning because it was quiet, so I wasn't getting proper sleep. I decided I would change my life. I would eat as though my life depended upon it, because I didn't want to do that traditional treatment. I would sleep as though my life depended on it. I would think as though my life depended upon it, because the brain believes everything you tell it. And so I just kept feeding my brain with positives and gratitude and all those things that people talk about that are discarded as corny. It's not. It's how you can turn your life into what you want it. In fact, when I lecture, I always say, you know, life is about the choices we make. And you'll be amazed at how many bad choices you make every day. I said, when you go to bed tonight, make an imaginary list in your head and put an imaginary line down the middle. And then go through every choice you made that you can remember during the day. The choices that took you away from good health and the choices that moved you forward to good health. You'll be amazed at how many negative choices you've made all day long.
Right.
So this is getting back to sex. I know you want to talk about sex.
No, I don't. I'm taking notes here. Because you have to be motivated to be sexual. So it runs into each other.
Well, it fell right into it, because women, especially today, lose progesterone first. Most women, make estrogen, they ooze it for a long time, but progesterone declines first. Now, think about this scenario. Progesterone is carcinogenic.
Right.
Progesterone is anti-carcinogenic. We women make estrogen every day of the month in different amounts. And then on 15 days of the month, we make progesterone. Well, if I had known the signs, I was starting to get a little thick around age 50. Just kind of puffy, drinking white wine and things like that. If I had known the signs of progesterone deficiency, which is estrogen takes over, so you get bigger. Your shoulders get bigger, your arms get bigger, your breasts get bigger, but not in a good way. I would have been tested and put my progesterone back in the right ratios. So when I lost my hormones, I looked all over the house and couldn't find them.
They weren't there. We're not there.
They were there.
And I'm sure Alan was looking for them too.
We were both looking for them. I went to doctor to doctor to doctor. And I was offered sleeping pills, anti-anxiety pills, Valium, anti-cholesterol pills, I call it the menopause cocktail. And I remember the last doctor I went to, I said, really, is this the best you have to offer women? And he patted me on the back and he said, well, the drug companies know best here. And I thought, wow, I'm on my own. And then I heard of this endocrinologist in Santa Barbara who was dealing with something called bioidentical hormones, biologically identical to the human hormone, an exact replica of what you once made or still make a little of. I did my blood work, raced up the highway to Santa Barbara. She's sitting there looking at my blood work. She goes, oh, you poor thing. I said, what? She said, you must feel terrible. I said, I do. I'm a happy person. I have every reason to be happy, and I feel like the world would be better off without me. She said, all right. She said, we're going to put you back together with these bioidentical hormones, but I can't give you everything you need today. I said, why? She said, because it took a long time to lose them. It's going to take a while to put them back, but you're going to call me with symptoms. And I said, like what? And she said, you'll know. So I later on defined the symptoms as the seven doors of menopause: itchy, bitchy, sleepy, sweaty, bloated, forgetful, and all dried up.
Nice.
So it feels weird to call your doctor and say, my leg itches, but that's a sign. What are your stresses? And then she'd raise it a little bit. Every 2-week increment, I felt better and better. And by a year, I had the sweet spot. I was back to better than I'd ever been. Great mood all the time, sleeping 8 hours every night, very sexual. My hair looked great. My skin looked great. My body was great, responded to exercise. I realized, oh, God, this is the answer. And women need to know about this. So that is how the series of books, I've written 27 books, came about. But relative to Alan and I, one day I'm looking at him and I said, you know, you take a nap after we wake up in the morning. Then you take a nap in the afternoon. And then while I'm cooking dinner, you fall asleep. And then after dinner, you want to go to bed. I said, why don't you go to my endocrinologist and have her check your testosterone levels? So he did, to his credit. His testosterone was so low and his DHEA was so low. And for men, it's so easy.
Yep.
It's just you see, you know, through lab work where the levels are. And at that time, he was using testosterone gel, and because it absorbs through the skin, and then with every pump of the blood, it pumps through you. Now he needs a shot because it absorbs better. But that, between him being juiced up on hormones and me being juiced up in hormones, and both of us being in a good mood. So when I talk about our sexuality, which our kids go, oh, God, don't talk about that again, I don't do it for the effect of, isn't it great we're having sex a couple times a day? I don't do it for that effect. I do it because the present paradigm of aging is decrepit and frail and something none of us want. And I realize you can't lie about your age. If you probably are, you know, Googling it right now. You know I'm 75.
Yes. And I wasn't Googling it, but the listeners are.
Yeah. I decided I'm going to make my age my asset. And I want people to look at me and my relationship and see the juice in it. And I want them to have what we have and to know that it's possible. And it's not that complicated. Eat right, sleep right, get your lab work done. Aging is about worn out parts. My most recent book was called A New Way to Age. Aging is about worn out parts. And you take true lab work, your hormone levels, your nutrient levels, and your mineral levels, and you put back exactly what you need to make yourself whole. What I need is different from what you need. What you need is different from what Alan needs. And there is a way now in this era of life extension, because it's very normal to live well into your 90s now, and they say probably for those of us who want it can live into 100, 110, but nobody's got quality of life. What I write about is life extension with life quality. Because who wants to be, you know, decrepit and frail? But I feel how great it is to be alive while you're alive.
You know, what an answer to a simple question. You gave substance. Someone not as sophisticated and learned in this area as you would have just said, well, you know what? He's got a great smile, or I've got great legs, and that's where the sex starts. And that's not true. I think we all know that that's too superficial, but when you talk about the real science behind it, then perhaps yeah. people can understand that it's not just something in your head, it's something in your body. And I just want to read a couple of reviews from Knockout, interviews with doctors who are curing cancer and how to prevent getting it in the first place by Suzanne Summers. This has been such a great read that it is both enjoyable and inspirational. Jam-packed with so much practical information for everyone even remotely interested in the health of the human body. Enjoyed it so much, I am not only rereading it, I'm ordering a hard copy so I can use it as a reference book as well. Here's another one. I can't recommend this book highly enough. There's so much in here that everyone should know about cancer and the alternative treatments that are out there. If you or someone you love has cancer, or if it runs in your family, you should read this now, because you need to know this stuff before you're under pressure to start chemo. And these are such important sentiments by people reading your books. How gratifying is it to you to know the impact you are having on these people? I mean, you started out in Catholic schools. You had an alcoholic father, all kinds of issues growing up. And look at what you're doing now to everyone who reads your books or listens or goes to your website, SuzanneSummers.com.
What's great about America, doesn't matter where you come from, who your family is, if you are willing to work hard and have a great idea that comes out of passion and not out of wanting to make money, because that's not how you make money, and a little luck, you can make something of your life in this country. I think America is the greatest idea there ever was. So when you read me those reviews, I think God had something to do with that, because I had to get that famous on Three's Company and then get fired so publicly, and so it was so humiliating. But I had the name, and I remember sitting in my living room within a year after I was fired, thinking, why did I do this? And I heard a voice, and I think we all hear them. We rarely listen, but if you tune in, right, you'll hear. And the voice said, why are you focused on what you don't have? Why don't you focus on what you have? Well, now I'm talking to the voice. I said, what do I have? And the voice said, you have enormous visibility. Everybody in this country knows your name, and in many parts of the world. And I realized, wow, that's how I got my headliner status in Vegas, because I was well known. That's how I got all the books published. And that's how I got the interviews with these amazing people. In all of these books, I have talked to the best and the brightest minds, and all the people in my books have an incredible message. They were there first. They did it. They figured it out, but they don't have a loud voice. Through me, they have a loud voice. The best example is there was a guy by the name of Ray Kurzweil, and Bill Gates said that Ray Kurzweil is the smartest man on the planet. So I wanted to talk to Ray Kurzweil, like, why are you so smart? And I called MIT, which is where he was at the time, and I got shunted around from office to office. Finally get to his office, Ray Kurzweil's office. Who's calling, please? Suzanne Summers. May I ask what it's about? I said, tell him I'd like to talk to him about being the most fascinating man on the planet. Hello, Suzanne.
That was quick.
And I think his interview is in a book I called Breakthrough, which was a bestseller. And he's the first person I ever heard about artificial intelligence. And I argued with him. I said, you can't outthink nature. He said, yes, you can. I said, and as I'm now reading books about artificial intelligence, I find it kind of a frightening scenario, because the books that I've been reading are saying artificial intelligence will progress to being super intelligence, that they will be like human beings with brains way beyond ours. So anyway,
scary.
I didn't understand. It's very scary, because it could be used and will be used for the better.
You know what, Suzanne? I enjoy the old-fashioned conversations, sitting with friends or sitting with your spouse or your kids, grandchildren, and just being human, not being artificial. And I hope that we maintain it somehow in the future. We got to take a quick break. We are speaking to the blonde in the white Thunderbird, Suzanne Summers, and we'll be back here on Gervie's Law right after this. I'm surprised no Three's Company music there, Damon.
Yeah.
You got it? It's coming. All right. We are talking to the ninth place finisher in the 2015 Dancing with the Stars. That doesn't tell anything about who it is. But if you go to SuzanneSummers.com, we've mentioned a lot about Suzanne's organics, the skincare products, the makeup, the hair care, the Thighmaster, so many things from this fitness guru. And it's a great website. I know she doesn't do it herself because it would be literally impossible. It takes a village. A lot of people who I've had on the show always says it takes a village. But it is an amazing website, SuzanneSummers.com. Before we talk a little bit more about that, Suzanne, I'm just thinking here, there's a question that's in my mind. And listening to you for the first half hour, hearing about how you've turned negatives into positives, how you've been so motivated to get to the bottom of things so that you can live a healthy and successful life, you didn't speak with John Ritter and Joyce DeWitt for several years after Three's Company. Tell us how you reconcile that type of life that you were living, because you were doing so fantastic. And obviously, you know, with the support of your husband, Alan Hamill, you had such positive energy. How does relationships break down where you don't speak to people for a while until, of course, you have reconciled and everything, at least with John Ritter and Joyce DeWitt, turned out okay?
As an attorney, you know that if that what happened to me happened today, I would own ABC. But because I found it so humiliating that they fired me, I kind of just walked away, not realizing that the producers of Three's Company filled the entire cast and crew with "she's trying to ruin our show" and all these negatives. And so I don't know what, I'll never know what they told everybody, but no one from that show, not John, not Joyce, I think Norman was still alive. I remember I saw Norman years later at, what's that, Wolfgang Puck restaurant?
Shinwa. Spago?
Shinwa in Venice. Mm-hmm. And I saw this little white head and I went over and I said, why is Joyce DeWitt still so mad at me? And he looked up at me with this little grin, he says, "'cause you didn't flunk." And I wonder if because I went on without them, I had to, and just had success after success after success. And I remember seeing John at a Hollywood party, and I thought, oh, good, I'm finally going to get to talk to him. And he did an about face and left. And then I was walking down Rodeo Avenue, and the costumer who we had worked out that great look for Chrissy Snow with the hot pants and the suspenders, and he did an about face. So they did some number. I'll never know what it was.
Yeah.
But when I came onto that show, I was, I had my baby at 18, a teenage mother. First time I ever had sex, had a scholarship to college and was dismissed from college because it was a Catholic college after the first month. So I never got to go to college when I'm sure I was smart. I got a scholarship. So I'd really had hard knocks, terrible childhood. My father was just an awful alcoholic. And my brother put a lock on the inside of a closet upstairs in the attic bedroom so that we could hide in there at night to stay away from that. So
that's awful.
Not really. Yes, it is. You would never ask to be. But man, one night I was going to my first junior prom and my mom made me the dress. And we went up to the theater department in San Francisco and we bought this sequin fabric for the top and two layers of chiffon for the skirt. And oh my God, I was so excited. So the dress is finished and tomorrow night's the dance. And as has happened so often, 3 o'clock in the morning, my bedroom door slammed open and the light slammed on. And you think you're going to the party, you think you're going to dance in front of all the boys, well, you're nothing. And he takes my dress and he starts to rip it into pieces. And my mother came running in saying, "Are you crazy? Are you crazy?" And he took my mother and he punched her in the breast and she fell to the floor. I'm telling you this for a reason. I saw a white light of rage. I now know we're all capable of it. I had a tennis racket. I don't know why I didn't play tennis. I picked it up and brought it over my head and brought it down on his head and gave him a concussion and blood was all over the place and my mother was crying. And then my mother, being the dutiful wife of the alcoholic, dragged him down the hall and out in the front of the house and around to the car. And I went screaming out to the backside of the house, I'm sorry, mommy. And then for the next 3 hours, I just scrub the front of the pathway and everything, get all the blood and get all the blood out of the house to erase the craziness. And I realized I was terrified of him from there on in. But what I realized was he was terrified of me because I was the first person in the family who said, no.
Enough is enough.
No. And I think what I got out of that, out of all the abuse all those years, was the I'll show yous. So when you go to being fired from Three's Company, I've been through worse, but it sure seemed unfair. And we went off on our own. I think it's just a shame. And maybe had I been more mature like I am now, I would have made more of an attempt to talk to John and can't we sit down? And but when we first started that show, I said to everybody, I'm not studied. I'm a real quick study, but I've not studied comedy or acting. And that put a pallor over the room.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, you don't come here to learn.
Right.
And one of the producers, it was Nichols, Ross, and West. This was Mickey Ross. He took me under his wing. Like, remember Nadia Comaneci with her coach?
Absolutely.
How she'd do a flip and she'd look at the coach and he'd give her a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Yeah. Bella.
Well, that's how he worked with me. He was an old vaudevillian and he would sit there with his arms folded and watch me do the scene. And when I finished, I'd look at him and he'd do a nod and a thumbs up or a come here. Well, I didn't realize during those couple of years that he was working with me like that, that he fell in love with me the way a father desires his daughter, but knows it's wrong. So he never came on to me. But as a woman looking back, I went, oh, that's what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So when I told him I'm marrying Alan Hamill, he got enraged and you're crazy and you'll ruin your career. And it's just awful. So who does Alan negotiate with at the meeting at ABC is Mickey Ross and the ABC guys. So all of it toughened me up. All of it prepared me for the life I was about to create. I mean, writing these books has just been a phenomenal satisfaction for me.
It sounds like it's been a little therapy as well.
Absolutely. Very astute of you. Very. When the way my products came about is when you write about we're under the greatest environmental assault in the history of humanity. And when you look at a graph, with the introductions of chemicals into our lives, the graph of rising cancer rate goes up and up and up since the 1950s. Well, there got to be a connection there. We got chemicals in our skincare. We've got chemicals in our color cosmetics. Women put lead on their lips every day. We clean our house with chemicals. I remember when my mother would have an ant infestation and the ants would come out. She'd make a sticky paste of Irish soap and they'd hate it and walk away. Then she found that spray stuff. And then we started spraying the kitchen with the poison and all the bugs went away. And the outside of the house, my dad started spraying. That was the beginning of the chemicalization of all of us. And now we're all sick. And so the products I make are a natural outcropping of that. I wanted it for myself. My products have this insignia, certified toxic free, has to be grown organically, extracted organically, nothing upwind or downwind of the product can be toxic to contaminate it. That's hard to get, and we've got it.
And so we're I'm sorry, Suzanne, we got to take a quick break, but I want to pick up on this after the break. So don't lose your thought, because that's what we're going to talk about after the break. We are speaking with the infomercial Hall of Famer, Suzanne Summers. More on Gervie's Law after this.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
The kisses are hers and hers.
There it is. We couldn't complete.
He found it.
He found it. We couldn't complete the show without you hearing those words. Knock on our door. A lot
that
of
people did everything for me.
It did, and you know what? A lot of people have been knocking on your door ever since. And before the break, we talked a little bit about the products that you have been promoting, have developed especially the organics, Suzanne Organics, the skincare, makeup, hair care, as well as a number of other items that can be found at SuzanneSummers.com. Talk a little bit about what that means to you now, as you know, we've reflected back on Three's Company and on your childhood, some of the negatives, but it must be so positive to think about where you are now and what these products mean to so many people.
Thank you for asking. And I do want to say, relative to my father, one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is forgiveness. And when I wrote the book, Keeping Secrets, about all that, but the story I just told you is in that book. I forgave him. He apologized to me. He wrote me a letter. He went on the Phil Donahue show with me. And so you should have seen my fault. I don't have any of that. So back to the products, because they are a natural outcropping of what I write about. I have these shows 3 times a week, which was my answer to the pandemic, Facebook Live and Instagram, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4 o'clock. And I invite my constituency, because there's a lot of them and they're sticky, to have a drink with me. We have a tequila. You know, you don't want to drink alone, but if you can have a drink with Suzanne and Alan and have a little fun and do a little business and a little philosophy and they love when I teach them about hormones. So they come. I have over 25 million books in print globally. So they're coming not only from this country, but from around the world. It's really pretty remarkable. And I listen to them. And what I kept hearing over and over is their gut. Everybody has gut issues. Everybody's got, oh, I'm so constipated. I'm bloated. I can't hold my stomach in. I can't lose weight. My hair is stringy, all these things. And I realized, wow, it's an epidemic. And if you ask anybody around you today, you know, or just look at people, you'll see the bloated bellies all over the place. You're as healthy as your GI tract. And the GI tract is the length of a tennis court. And around it's got this mucus, which is your immune system. So when you take chemicals into your body through your skin, your stomach, through, you know, non-organic food and and the air you breathe, it eats holes through that barrier wall, creating leaks. And that's what leaky gut is. And then it travels around, gets up into its favorite organ, goes into any fatty organ and gland. But its favorite is the brain, which is 65% fat. They love fat. But the more chemicals that get in your brain, the more your brain has to shrink. The more chemicals, the more the hypothalamus and the pituitary shrink until finally I envision the hypothalamus over in the corner going, there's no room left for me. Is this why we've got so many issues with kids with ADD and ADHD and right. OCD and dyslexia and dyspraxia? And then let's go to dementia. And 1 in 3 seniors now has Alzheimer's. That's not right. So anyway, if all disease starts in the gut, I work with a scientific advisory board of 26 scientists, doctors, and professionals. And they helped us create this product called Gut Renew. It's a smoothie powder that tastes good. Because I kept saying, if it tastes like crap, it'll be a penance and no one will want it. If you make it taste so good that they take it even if they didn't have gut issues. Well, we are now ordering this Gut Renew by the tonnage, 70 tons at a time. It's that popular. I would say it's probably on a par with Thymaster. And it all came from them, what they were telling me they needed. And now we have a Gut Renew smoothie every morning. I wish, if you want, I'll send you a
I do. You know, everything you're saying makes so much sense. And if you could show me a product that actually tasted good that I wanted to take, I think I would be in love with it for the rest of my life.
We have it every morning. Like this morning, I in the blender, I put frozen bananas. Whenever I buy bananas, if you don't eat them in the first 2 days, they go black and they taste lousy.
Yeah.
So as soon as they get black spots, I cut them up and put them in the freezer. So I put the frozen bananas in the blender. Mm-hmm. Then I put 2 scoops of Gut Renew for each of us. So it was 4 scoops. I put a scoop of almond butter, a little scoop of 70% chocolate powder, and coconut milk and some almond milk. Whipped it up. I'll tell you, it's as good as any milkshake you've ever had, and it's good for you. And there's no, you know, if you have dairy issues, there's no lactate problems or anything. So,
and you know what's great about it, Suzanne, is you can do it quickly. My problem, I'm such a busy person. I'm running around. If I had that, I wouldn't have to worry about trying to figure out how to get my breakfast and my nutrition that often takes too long.
And if you really don't have time, take 2 spoons and, you know, whip it up in water and gulp it down, and it tastes fine. It's a good tasting powder. But anyway, who would have known? That's what, when people say, what are you going to do next? I think, I don't know. It always happens organically. So where are we going to go next? I don't know. I told Alan when I was 80, I want him to book me in Vegas again.
Well, that'll happen.
Will you come?
That will happen. I'm sure it will.
I remember when I was full-time in Vegas, that Debbie Reynolds was over at one of the hotels, and she was 80, and she was packing them in. They're probably coming to see if she's going to live through the show.
That's not nice. That's not true. You know, when there's talent like yours, it goes a lifetime. It doesn't matter how old you are, especially when your focus is on health and well-being. You know, Suzanne, this has been a delight. It's been just a real pleasure to talk to you. I've learned so much. I've taken so many notes. One of these days, you have to come and co-host Gervie's Law with me, because
I will.
I would love for you to do that, because there's so much to cover. We could do another hour, and you could also interview people, because you're so astute at finding these questions that are germane. And of course, you've shown you have a lot of information that people just don't have. If you go to SuzanneSummers.com, everything she's talking about is there, and on social media. How do people listen to your social media platforms?
Go to Facebook Live, SuzanneSummers.com, and it's all there. And all the shows that we do 3 times a week are banked. Or just show up at Facebook Live, Suzanne Summers, or Instagram, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We never know what's going to happen. Like last week, I don't know how it happened. We did a whole show on farting.
Wow. My kids would really have loved listening to that. So this is for all ages. And your grandchildren.
Yes, yes.
All right, Suzanne, thanks so much.
Thank you for the provocative questions and your interest in me. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed this interview very, very much.
Well, we enjoyed having you. All the best. We're going to keep updated, and we're going to see all the new things that are coming from Suzanne Summers. And we're going to have her on the show again. We have to. Suzanne, thanks so much. Take care. Give my best to Alan, fellow Canadian.
I will. Thanks so much.
All right,
okay,
take care. Bye-bye. All right, that's going to do it for the first in many new Gervie's Law shows. Next week, we got Andy Block. Don't miss it. Have a great week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.